This week's Cinema Classics is a continuation of last week's discussion about Marlon Brando.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Johnny DiLoretto. And this is Cinema Classics, and we are at the Gateway Film Center. His notion of himself became so outsized that the only way he could fill it was to physically take up that space.
What a nice metaphor. He was just an appetitive man, and he loved ice cream and hot dogs. And he could be caught anytime at 3 in the morning.
Do you think that comes out of some self-loathing, though? Do you think somebody who destroys their beauty like that?
His dad used to beat him, among other things. And I think he was a military guy, his father.
His father, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And so theoretically, he's fighting his father through his whole life.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah, deeply psychological. But in the end, and I don't disagree with you about the affectations. And I'll be darned if I don't criticize him for this whole mumblecore thing.
I never thought he was mumbling. I think it was perceived as mumbling because it was more quiet. It wasn't theatrical.
It had its place in giving the naturalistic look. Standard Actors Studios fare to mumble as if you were just feeling this character, dredging him up from your past. You become him. Therefore, you're talking to yourself. You're mumbling just like a person walking down the street who's slightly crazed might do.
That brings us back to James Dean.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can have a conversation about what they did to movies without talking about both of them. I thought one day when I was watching East of Eden, James Dean was so raw, and I mean emotionally raw, and so nerve jangly that he seemed to be what would come out of Marlon Brando if you cracked him open.
Nice.
If you cracked Brando open like an egg,
yeah,
out falls James Dean.
Okay.
You know, Brando's musculature is what kind of keeps you at emotional bay. When it breaks open, it's really powerful. That's what I think made De Niro and Pacino so attractive as young movie stars. They were carrying the Brando torch. They were tough exteriors, soft interiors, explosive interiors.
He benefited enormously his whole life, Brando did, from his role in Streetcar Named Desire. That beefiness you're talking about was something that carried him through to the point where when he became bloated, everybody remembered
the beauty that he was. Right, right.
Brando was a very bright guy.
I'm sure that he was.
He had more books in his library than most academics.
Okay.
And he worked on his scripts. Now, first of all, he would not memorize. So he had lines tacked up all over the place because he said it actually pulled him away from the naturalism that he wanted to. When he did get hold of a script, here's what he did.
Okay.
And I'll give you one example, which would be Bud Schulberg's On the Waterfront.
Yeah.
Originally, Schulberg had written, "I could have been a contender. I could have had class and been somebody. Real class. Instead of a bum, let's face it, which is what I am." Now, it sounds like Brando, but Brando got a hold of it, and here he cut it down, made it colloquial, and made it unforgettable. "I could have been somebody instead of a bum, which is what I am, let's face it."
Right, and that's the beauty of that line, is when he says, "I could have been somebody."
Yeah.
Imparts such soulful meaning on that word, somebody. I could have been somebody.
Exactly.
Instead of a bum. So now you have the counterpoint between somebody. I'm not arguing that the man was a genius, but I think that it's always interesting when a guy or woman, anybody of talent, such art-altering talent, squanders it. Orson Welles, another guy who, by the way, had such an outsized sense of himself that he got physically large to fill the space. Orson Welles.
Oh, Welles. Now I'm thinking that won't happen to Daniel Day-Lewis, who is way too controlled in his performance.
Right, and that's the difference, right? Daniel Day-Lewis is a genius, no doubt about it. His performances are searing. His performances are... He creates distinct characters. His Bill the Butcher in Gangs of New York is distinctly different from Natty Bumppo from Last of the Mohicans, from There Will Be Blood character. The only thing they have in common is how vastly different they are from role to role. There's a great deal of artifice there.
Do you think there's any comparison with Brando?
No. Brando is soul-stirring. But Brando in Streetcar Named Desire is a lot like that. He was maybe the first really beautiful bad guy that allowed us access to his interiority.
Well, anyway, brother, he's dead, brother. I'm beginning to mumblecore now.
Well, this show is all over the place. I wish you luck in the editing process, John.
Cinema Classics is brought to you by the Gateway Film Center, 1550 North High Street, Columbus, Ohio. Further details and showtimes online at gatewayfilmcenter.com.
The award-winning Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto, who by extension are award winners. Listen to our shows online at wcbe.org.